Certainly is good to see everyone today. We missed you last week. Thank you for Larry for filling in for me. We did enjoy our vacation. Jonathan did enjoy getting away from us. He is going to be at Horizons all week for a week-long camp there at Freed Hardeman. He got the opportunity to move in early, and so he jumped at that, so that's where he is today. I want to invite you back tonight at 5:30 for our evening service. Hope that you can be back with us then. Go ahead and open your Bibles to Galatians chapter 5. That's where we will be taking our lesson today, Galatians chapter 5. You know, tomorrow we will celebrate Independence Day. Many fireworks displays, and cookouts, and things of that nature will take place tomorrow as we celebrate our independence. You know, our freedoms are very important to us. It kind of sets us apart as the nation that we are. And though we may not be looking forward to the coming election and our choices, we still live in a very unique, very awesome place. And as we think about our freedoms, we think about the fact that those freedoms are the same for everyone. Same freedoms that we enjoy this morning are the same freedoms that others around us enjoyed this morning. We all had the freedom to get up. We all had the freedom to come worship. We all have the same freedom to do what we want to do. And those freedoms are the same for everyone. But as we think about freedom, I think it's important, especially in light of maybe some of the changes in society and the changing landscape that we see going on around us, to understand that as Christians, it's important to remember that our freedoms are the same. But the freedom that comes with being a Christian means we got to act differently. We got to act with restraint and respect. And act as though we honor those freedoms, even if those freedoms lead people to say and believe things that we don't agree with. I want to show you an example in Galatians chapter 5 of what happens when people want to take the gospel and make it say and make it mean things that it does not say. Galatians chapter 1, or Galatians chapter 5, basically talks about how Christ has set us free. It says in verse 1, "For freedom Christ has set us free. Stand firm, therefore, and do not submit again to a yoke of slavery." Now, the conversation that's taking place here is a conversation about trying to incorporate the old law and mingle it with the gospel and have a unique understanding of what it means to be a follower of God. And there was a battle going on in the time of Paul of those who wanted to have the old law and have the gospel. And really, in truth, they wanted the gospel to be a Jewish gospel. They wanted the Gentiles to become like Jews in order to be accepted by God. And so Paul says here, Christ set us free, so stand firm. And don't submit again to a yoke of slavery. He says there, "Look, I, Paul, say to you that if you accept circumcision, Christ will be of no advantage to you. I testify again to every man who accepts circumcision that he is obligated to keep the whole law. You are severed from Christ, you who would be justified by the law, you who have fallen away from grace. For through the Spirit, by faith, we ourselves eagerly wait for the hope of righteousness. For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision counts for anything, but only faith working through love." The problem had been this influence by the Jews for those Gentile Christians to accept circumcision. Now we know what circumcision was. It was a promise to Abraham. It was a promise in the Old Testament. It wasn't given to the Gentiles. It was given to Abraham and his descendants. Circumcision was in the Old Law. It wasn't in the Gospel. It had nothing to do with the Gospel. Jesus never mentioned it. Jesus didn't incorporate it as a part of his Gospel. But the influence was, if you really wanted to be true, if you really wanted to be a follower of God, if you really, really, really wanted to be a Christian, then you had to submit to circumcision. And so they created their own gospel. They created their own law. And Paul shows here in verse 3 just what that meant. If you want to accept circumcision, then you are obligated to keep the entire law. You can't pick and choose. It's kind of like today. Well, I want to keep the Ten Commandments, but I don't really want to keep the rest of that. I don't really want to do the sacrifices. I don't really want to observe all that other stuff, but I really like the Ten Commandments. Paul says, if you're going to keep part of it, you got to keep the whole thing. And what does he say in verse 4? You are severed from Christ, you who would be justified by the law. If you accept circumcision, if you accept the old law, then what you're doing is you're giving up the gospel. You're choosing the law over the gospel. If you enforce this upon people, you're enforcing on them that they have to keep the whole law. So in a sense, in order to do this, they had to fully reject Jesus and reject His gospel. You couldn't keep both. You couldn't have it both ways, and you couldn't merge the two. If merging the two, you would be creating your own. Verse 6, very plain, Paul says, for Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision counts for anything, but only faith working through love. Jesus didn't care. Did you see that? Didn't mean anything to Jesus. Whether you did or you didn't mean anything to Jesus. What meant something to Jesus? Faith working through love. That was important. What did they do? What were they really doing? Verse 1, he says, Christ has set us free. Christ set us free. They were choosing slavery over freedom. They were choosing to submit to slavery over freedom. Verse 7, you are running well. Who hindered you from obeying the truth? Who decided that you should be slaves? Who decided to put that yoke of slavery on you? Why did you choose to accept that? Galatians chapter 3 and verse 23. Turn back a page and look at Galatians 3 and verse 23. It says there, now before faith came, we were held captive under the law, imprisoned until the coming faith would be revealed. So then the law was our guardian until Christ came, in order that we might be justified by faith. But now that faith has come, we are no longer under a guardian. For in Christ Jesus you are all sons of God through faith. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither slave nor free. There is neither male nor male and female. For you are all one in Christ Jesus. And if you are Christ, then you're Abraham's offspring, heirs according to promise. Notice what it said. And they didn't feel this, but this is Paul telling us through the inspiration of Scripture. Verse 23, now before faith came, we were held captive under the law, imprisoned until the coming faith would be revealed. What was the old law then? What is Paul saying about that old law? It was slavery. We were being held captive. We were imprisoned until freedom came. What did the old law do? The old law pointed out sin. The old law illustrated sin. The old law had provision for rolling that sin forward, but it illustrated transgression. But it did not remove transgression. Jesus became the removal. Jesus became the freedom from sin. The old law held us captive. The old law held us in prison, Paul said. Look at chapter 4 and verse 8. Formerly, when you did not know God, you were enslaved to those that by nature are not gods. But now that you have come to know God, or rather to be known by God, how can you turn back again to the weak and worthless elementary principles of the world, whose slaves you want to be once more? You observe days and months and seasons and years. I'm afraid that I may have labored over you in vain. You think about the Gentiles. You think about the Galatians as they come to this, as they came to Christ from where they were. Very different. Christ has set them free. Christ has made them whole in the sight of God. They have freedom to one day live with God in heaven. But if they refer back to religions that were not God's, that they were enslaved to, they're giving up God. Those things that were weak and worthless, he says, elementary principles of the world, whose slaves you want to be once more. They're choosing slavery over freedom. And he goes on to, at the end of chapter 4, compare the law and the gospel. And he compares the law to Hagar. Hagar was a slave. He compares the gospel to Sarah, who's free. And he comes into chapter 5 and he says, Christ has set us free. Don't choose slavery. They chose slavery over freedom. The point this morning that I'm getting to is, do we choose slavery over freedom today? And I want to submit to you that there are those who choose slavery over freedom. We've all seen it. We've all experienced it. We've all witnessed those who use the gospel in a way that makes it a law unto itself. Remember, we talked about Christians remembering that freedom is the same for everyone, and we must act accordingly. As Christians, it is important to remember our freedom both in our spiritual lives and in our citizenship here on earth. We must be careful not to create a law of our own and forget what being a Christian is all about. You know, we got freedom of speech, right? We can say what we want. We have freedom of thought. We can think what we want. We don't need permission. But how do we deal with those who express their freedom of speech and their freedom of thought when it doesn't agree with ours? And as you look out into the religious world today, I'm amazed at the number of people who find themselves in a position to be just like these Jews, who take the gospel and then add things to it and say, this is truth, this is the gospel, and then slam it over people's heads and say, if you really want to be a Christian, this is how you must be. This is what you must believe. This is how you have to act. Have you seen it? Have you experienced it? For anyone with social media, it's apparent. Every time a new law comes along, every time something changes, every time something new is brought up, you see people who will, in the name of God, say and do things that call into question other people's freedom and call into question how they act and how they believe. It's important for us to remember what this is all about, to remember who we are, and to remember what being a Christian is really all about. Our mission is to teach and live the truth. It's that simple. Our message is to teach and to live the truth. Galatians chapter 5 and verse 6. Jesus said, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision counts for anything, but only faith working through love. Only faith working through love. And then verse 13. For you were called to freedom, brothers. Only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. For the whole law is fulfilled in one word. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. But if you bite and devour one another, watch out that you are not consumed by one another. What does it mean to be a Christian? What does it mean to follow the example of Jesus? Jesus talked about two great commands. Love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And then love your neighbor as yourself. What does it really mean to love our neighbor as ourselves? For me, it's very plain that my opinion is very valuable. Trust me, I think my opinion is very valuable. I think my opinion is valid. I think what I think is right. And I think others should think that too, right? If I love my neighbor as myself, I must value someone else's right to have an opinion that differs from mine. And how do I respond to that opinion? I must respond with respect. I must respond with faith, working through love. And to simply share the message of Jesus as I can. I cannot demand other people to be obedient to a gospel they don't believe in. When's the last time we converted anyone by believing the gospel for them? As you look out into the religious world, it's interesting how people choose to phrase their wording and use God's word as an ability to talk against and to reject those who don't agree with them. Simple research project. Go back through the life of Jesus and find the number of times that he actually spoke against someone for how they behaved. It's pretty interesting to note that it was the religious people that he spoke out the most against. Time and again, he was faced with sinners. He was faced with those who made mistakes. He was faced with those who did not live lives that honored God. How did he deal with them? How did he handle them? I think it's important in our society to make sure that as Christians, we don't try to fight fire with fire. That we don't answer loud with loud. But that we try to honor the Spirit of Jesus in our lives. And to have faith working through love and to love our neighbor as ourselves. If we're going to win others to Christ, we can't do that with insults. We can't do that with arguments. We must do that by following the example that he set, living and being the gospel and not creating one that's not there. It's kind of an interesting topic and kind of an interesting thing to think. But as I look out into the world and as I look out into people that I know, people that I think are good people, people that I think fairly smart, fairly intelligent, but who get lost in the political correctness and the political environment of our society and assume that it's okay to just fight fire with fire. See, unfortunately in our society, we seem to live in extremes, don't we? We have the extreme right and the extreme left, and it seems like those are the only opinions that seem to get voiced. And as Christians, we can get drawn into expressing those extremes. When the truth is, somewhere in the middle is probably where we can have dialogue and have discussion. And if we really want to model the life of Jesus, we must study the life of Jesus and see how he dealt with the political pressures that existed in his day. If we think America today is worse than Rome in the time of Jesus, we are mistaken. We got problems. I'm not going to argue with that. We don't live in that society. And Jesus didn't spend a lot of time in the political realm. He spent his time in the spiritual realm. We can use our freedoms for good, and we have the freedom to say and to do whatever we want. In our country, that comes with it. But we can also use our freedoms for harm. As Christians, it's important to use our liberty to lead others to Christ, to perhaps be an example that shows others the way to Him. We don't want to be like the Jews of Paul's time and to fall into a slavery. And when we want to bind a gospel over people, when we want to say, you got to believe like me and you got to have this, 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 and this, and that's not what we find Jesus doing or being an example of, we find ourselves being like those Jews and creating a gospel of our own. And we're putting on a yoke of slavery. Let's be free. Let's live free. One of the greatest freedoms we have is the freedom to choose to be silent, to choose to be respectful, to choose to be kind, to choose not to respond. Let's be free to help others. Let's be free to be the example that Jesus wants us to be. And not ever turn anyone off from the opportunity of knowing Jesus by the words that we use. I don't know. Maybe you haven't seen this. Maybe you haven't experienced this. But to me, it seems like it's becoming more and more prevalent among Christian people to lose sight of what it means to be a Christian and lose sight of the kindness and decency and respect that comes with knowing who we are and understanding that our citizenship doesn't belong here. Our citizenship is in heaven. That's who we're living for. That's what life is all about. There may be laws we don't agree with. There may be people that do things we don't agree with. But how we respond shows what's inside of us. Shows who we are and whose we are. We're free. Let's live free. If you're here this morning and never named the name of Christ, I want to encourage you to do so. If you've heard the word, believe it. Repent of your sins and confess that He is the Son of God. Be buried with Him in baptism, having your sins washed away, being free clean and whole in His sight. Maybe here this morning and you wandered away from Him and need to come back. Maybe there's something you need the prayers of the church for. If you have a need today, won't you come as we stand and sing?